So, Paul, I'm not saying your guys don't have their nicks and bumps and bruises. Obviously, they do. But to have your entire roster out at this stage of the playoffs, from your experience, is that fairly unique?
Well, this will be the first game this year since Paul Stastny's arrival. So it's exceptionally unique in our situation.
How much option does that open up for you?
Well, by the time you get to this stage, you're into your roles, you're into your lines for the most part, but I think the real benefit is in the room. Now, we've got good guys that have come in and out. We've handled it all year, but everybody's got their unique personality. Everybody's really well-liked. Frenchie, as you know, Matty Perreault, as you know, got a great personality on him. So having him in the room, it makes it for a good place.
What can you have his biggest impact on the game?
He has a really unique ability for a smaller guy to get on the puck, right? There's a lot of different ways to get on the puck. Some guys are big and physical, do it. Some guys straightaway speed. He knocks things down, right? He gets in on the puck, knocks things down. And then for kind of an energy-type player, he's got a good set of playmaking or finishing hands. He can find other players on the ice.
Even the mobility on the back end, a player like that would be a pretty big asset in the series, wouldn't you say?
Yeah. I think we've added to our zone time most games for the most part, so we've spent some time there. But evasion for any defenseman, whether they skate well or they don't, that's a big part of our game.
I know you don't pretend to understand goaltenders, but can you provide any insight as to why Connor Hellebuyck decided to take part in this morning's skate when he doesn't normally or hasn't lately?
It was just routine. So he has about three or four routines, depending on whether we're flying, whether he plays, all of those. This was actually part of his. Now he goes out, he does these shots, takes what he wants, and then he's done. He's done this before. He hasn't done it maybe in a week or two, but that's part of his routine.
I'll probably knock on wood in front of you there, but it's been all a year where you haven't really had these decisions to make, right? In terms of having all guys, what's that like finally?
Well, you're taking guys out that have been an important part of your group and still are. So that's always a challenge. But it's, like I said, it's exciting to have your group in. We've waited for it. I think we've played one other game prior to Paul this year with our lineup, and I think it was one game. So we haven't gotten pretty good at moving the pieces around and still finding success, but we'll get everybody out there tonight and let it rip.
So if they threw some bit of a new wrinkle at you in the last game with their neutral zone play.
Yeah.
With a room full of NHL players, how much coaching is involved in setting them up for tonight's game to face the same thing?
So they would run the exact same neutral zone, right? Set slightly deeper. That's more based on the score. The frequency of it increased greatly because they stopped attacking for the most part. So we have things that we did well in that neutral zone that got us the zone time. I think we're over six in game three. And then we had some of the exact same ideas that didn't get done well. So we'll look at the things that are good. We're not expecting to skate through anybody's neutral zone easily every time. But there's some things that we can do, we think, where we're more effective. At the end of it, skating is the most important thing.
Depending on some of your guys have gotten to the NHL, some of them may have not been accustomed to the seven-game series or this type of a animal. How do you think they've handled it? Andrew Kopp said it is a new, real difference.
It's a new experience. Clearly, the games are, as you all know, they're far more intense. I found that the first series was a lot more physical than this series, and I think you find that. The hits get targeted, it's not the right word. There's few of them. If they can line a guy up, they're going to do it. But the first round is usually every hit gets chased to get finished. But there also seems to be more downtime, right? You're not practicing as much with your hockey team. The games are far more intense. The recovery becomes a bigger, important issue because your hockey life is at maximum, a two-week life here in the playoffs. Every series, you've got to win to move on. So I think the cost, the greater cost beyond the physical is the mental and the emotional, right? So you want to keep that. That's why the even keel of it is something that you talk about all year to train for it, right? That you don't get too high and too low, that you don't allow the losses to drag you down. So we find we have, as coaches, we actually have more time on your hands. So you're only doing one team. You're not doing two or three. And then we get to move the games to 8 o'clock, so we get a little longer afternoon. I think we'll have lots of energy.
But, you know,
Well, they lose to, let's say you lose to an Anaheim, and then, you know, 36 hours later you play a San Jose. So it's a, there's no clean slate, really, that they're used to in this type of a series.
Right. But just in conversations with Jamie Compon, who's been through a bunch of it, they always, those teams always felt that they were at an advantage coming off a 6 or 7-game series going into the next one. Their game is right there. They just keep going. The cost of it, you would find out toward the end of it. But there have been a bunch of Stanley Cup winners come off back-to-back 7-game series and win.
Pretty long and animated conversation with Mark Scheifele. Can you
there was no
him?
Animation.
I thought there was a little.
The camera's on. This would be animated.
Yeah. He was animated. Can you share any insight on it?
No. No, we were talking about different things that happen on the ice, different plays, and sometimes you point to the piece of the ice that you're talking about, or there's no animation, man. That was a light one. I never have a heavy conversation on the ice, ever. So you can be pretty sure if I'm talking to a player on the ice, we're talking about the weather, food, some plays that, what'd you see here, what'd you see there. What's unusual about Mark is his recall is fantastic. So whether he watches her shifts or not, you can, so we'll watch the video, you know, 10 different ways. We'll watch the games, we'll watch it in pieces, we'll watch it from the overhead view. And you can go grab Mark and talk about a play at the third, you know, the 3-minute mark of the second period, and he can tell you where everybody else on the ice is. So a lot of times I use him for that.
Those little tweaks that you're talking about that they make, that you make, how big of a role do you think those play in the fact that we've seen 4 very different types of games in this series?
Yeah, they're important, the execution of them. Right, the foundation of the execution of all of them is still far more important. Right, so if your team skates well, all your systems look really good. And if your team doesn't skate, if you're sharp with the puck in the neutral zone, if it's on the tape instead of the ankle, your neutral zone becomes completely different, whether it's on transition or not. So the foundation never changes. The series will change some of your positioning by the speed of the other team. You know where you have your different players, your different how they hold lines, things like that change just on speed. But yeah, there's adjustments. You won't see anybody take a system and change it completely, but there have been special teams adjustments made as well.
So would it be fair to say that I don't know, sometimes in the media we call those little tweaks, that's the coaching duel. Does this feel like a coaching duel to you?
Oh,
in any
you
way
you should make it one, sure.
Yeah,
go for it, man. It's 2 days. It's 2-2, eh? Oh, it's a tough call then. Don't know how to split that one up. I look at you guys. I get your job a little bit. I don't understand why you do it, but I get it. It's 2 days, man. You got to grind something out every day. I'm feeling for you.
I mean, is this pretty much what you expected when you brought Paul Stastny in? Is this kind of what you thought we'd get out of it?
I'm in Dallas. And I asked Blake Wheeler about him before the trade, and he doesn't say anything. He just kind of stares off to the space and then uses different words to express his interest in that idea. And then the trade gets made, and he says to me, this guy's a better player than you think. And I thought, I got a pretty high opinion of Paul Stastny. He says, no, you need to have him on the ice. You need to watch him every day. He said, you know he's a good player, but he's a better player than you think. And Blake was right in all pieces of the game. He would be... I'm going to do this to this guy. He would be as close to Ron Francis as a player I've coached. Another guy that can tell you exactly what's going on the ice, series to series, the adjustments that are made, the slight changes that are made, processing the game. He can adapt his game to his wingers really, really well.
Well, your team and the Preds were talking a lot about Brad Marchand this morning.
I'm going to bet you. But our teams and their teams didn't say a word about Brad Marchand when they walked in there today until you guys asked them. That's where my money's going.
Just like you.
Really?
Before we got in there.
Awesome. I'm really looking forward to this line, where this is going.
I guess the question is, some people are saying it reflects badly on hockey and shouldn't be part of the game. Thoughts?
Like, what are your thoughts? First, you want to take a shower. That was my first thought. I think everybody does when they see it. And that kind of left it at that. The willies, is that the word? Yeah, gives me the willies. That's what I thought. Jeez.